Good morning, everyone. It is a real honor for me to be here. And as Pastor Joseph has already said, your pastors have played a very, very important role in my life. And I know they have said that we have been instrumental in theirs. But when they did come to our district office those many years ago, I just felt an immediate connection with this couple, and I know that you are in for a great days ahead in this church as you follow the Lord and you follow this pastoral couple in ministry, because their heart is so centered in Christ and so centered in authentic, pure biblical doctrine. They'll lead you to the green pastures, and they will walk with you beside still waters, as a good shepherd would. And they are under shepherds of Christ, and I'm just so glad to be here with you this morning for this great... It's going to seem a little ceremonial today, and if you know me, I'm not that ceremonial. Now, Myrtle and Bentley will know, because they remember me when I was a youth pastor and had a little more hair than I do have now. And I guess I was a little more spunky back then, was I? Yeah. So, and we spent many Christmas times over in Myrtle and Bentley's home playing shuffleboard and eating good food and enjoying company. And we had a great time in our years in Duncan. Actually, it was kind of, every time I get on the ferry to come back to the island, it's like coming home. It really is. It feels like we're coming home. And Brenda has always said, you know, when we retire, maybe we should come back to the island sometime. And so... Yeah, we're heading that way. We're on that slope toward... Is that a slope this way, or is it actually an incline? Yeah, because you got to save to retire, right? So maybe it's an incline yet. Anyways, what a great moment that we have to share here. And I want to share some biblical thoughts with you first, and then I want to lead you into an ordination message. So we won't get there yet. So if you want to just back up the slide yet, I just want to start with more of a biblical... illustration of the true people of integrity that God calls into leadership. And so we're here to celebrate Hannah Dutko. And after this moment, after today, when we present her with the certificate and she gets the real one in the mail from the PAOC in Toronto, we will all have to kind of go, ah, because now she is ordained. And every time she comes home from the office, Joseph will have to fall on his knees and proclaim her majesty. It's all part of the PAOC protocol. Did I forget to tell you about that? Yeah, he says he's been practicing for years. Well done, brother. Well done. You're making us all look bad here. But we will get there in a moment on what ordination really is and what ordination really is not. And it does not make her any less or any more of a credential holder of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. She has been a wonderful pastoral leader and a chaplain, and has served the Lord very, very well. But this milestone is something that we note in terms of spiritual maturity and the measure of her integrity. So we're not there yet. You just want to get me done, don't you? So let me begin with integrity. Integrity. It's a subject that we don't often speak about in church because it kind of creates a little bit of a check mark in our own spirit and in our own hearts, because I don't know if you are like me, but when you speak about integrity, it kind of gives you a moral inventory and you say, well, is my integrity intact? Am I walking in the way that God would want me to walk? And if no one was looking, would I make the right call? Am I acting, or am I really genuine as a believer? Is there any hypocrisy in my life? Is there any double standards in my life? Is my life divided in loyalty in any way, as James would have said? Is my life tracking with God in moral purity and integrity? And those questions kind of regurgitate in your mind when someone raises the subject of integrity. Now, let me ask you this question, and I'll start off with a little story. Has your integrity ever been questioned? Right? Has anybody ever questioned your integrity? And just think in retrospect, how did that make you feel? How did that make you feel? Let me share a little illustration of my own life. Well, you know that in my role as superintendent, I get to travel around the district quite a bit, and I'm in and out of airports often, and some of you will know this story. Perhaps you might recall this from a district conference where I was speaking once. I shared this very story. Well, I was going of all places, to a place called Terrace, where some of you would be very familiar. I just got back from there, in fact, and I was heading up to Terrace, and I was going through airport security. Now, there are some things you need to know about me. First of all, I was born in Karachi, Pakistan. Okay, and so when you look at my passport and you flip open the first cover page with the photo, it says birthplace right there and it says Karachi, Pakistan. Now, over the years, I've gotten a lot smarter. I don't travel with my passport anymore. Okay, I actually travel with a Nexus card, which is a lot better and easier to get through airport security. But back in those days when I was naive and stupid, I would travel with my passport. And so I was going through airport security that day, and I showed him my boarding card, which was tucked into my passport. So he flipped open my passport, looked at my birthplace, looked at me, looked at my birthplace, looked at me again, and I could tell I'm in for a ride, all right? So he said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to Terrace." He said, "Have you got any luggage with you that that you haven't personally packed?" And I said, no, I packed all my own carry-on luggage." And he said, "So have you left your luggage unattended at all?" And I said, no, I haven't left my luggage unattended. It's been with me the whole time." He said, "So you can vouch for everything in your luggage." Now I'm getting a little suspicious, right? He's kind of questioning my integrity. Like, am I packing? Like, what am I going to say? Yes, I'm a drug mule for the Pakistani mafia. You know, like, there you go. There you get an examination that's not very pleasant. But anyways, so I wouldn't, you know, I didn't say that. I was just kind of going with the flow. And you never really talk to a border guard, you know, or a border security in a mean way, because that gets you apprehended. But anyways, trust me, I've done that in Israel, actually. But so I'm here, and I'm vouching for my own luggage, and he goes, "Okay, so you know everything that's in your luggage?" And I said, "Yes." So he opens up my briefcase that has all my thyroid medication and other stuff in there, and he pulls out a bottle. And for the life of me, I had never seen that bottle before in my, you know, I thought, where'd that come from? You know, and I thought, oh, yeah. So he pulls that very bottle out, and he says, "Do you recognize this bottle?" Well, I can't lie. I said to him, "Okay, I'm sorry, I don't actually recognize that bottle." And he goes, "Okay, what could it be?" And I said, "Well, it's probably my medication." And he goes, "Okay, what kind of medication do you take?" And I said, "Well, I get thyroid medication, I have migraine headaches, so I have Migranol in there and other things like that." And he says, "Oh, okay, so can you vouch for this bottle?" And I said, "Yeah, it's probably my stuff, you know." And he goes, "Okay, can I read the label off it?" And I said, "Sure, go ahead." He says, "It says it's extra strength Midol for menstrual cycle cramps." And he goes, "How long have you been having menstrual cycle cramps?" And I said, "I think I'm having one right now, in fact, you know." He was questioning my integrity. Now, my wife is sitting right here, Brenda, and our good friends, you know, Mike and Corrine, they will vouch for me that very bottle, what Brenda had done is she had taken my Migranol pills and she'd put them in a smaller bottle, one of her bottles, you know, and so here I was being questioned about my integrity. It made me feel guilty. It made me feel like I was a criminal. It made me feel like I was doing something wrong. It felt like I was mismanaging something, you know, lying, double standards in my life. And none of that was true, but my integrity was questioned. Now, Dr. Gerald Goldsmith says this, and I quote, "A true measure of a person's character is determined by what he or she does when only God is watching." Now, how many of you would know that you can never escape God's survey? He is constantly watching. And so integrity is not something you do when other people are watching or when you want to parade your honesty or the value of your character in front of other people. It's realizing that integrity goes with you even into the dark night of the soul when you're agonizing before God or when you're questioning faith or when you have a crisis of faith or when you are called upon to act or behave in a certain way that tests you. That's when integrity is at its full capacity. So biblically, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17, if you want to turn there, you can. I won't spend a whole lot of time there, but it's one of the key verses that I want to remind you of today. Good preaching is good reminding, I'm told. Well, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17 says, "I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased when you find integrity there. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 17. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 16 says, righteousness guards the man of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. There are three very quick examples that I want to share with you before we go into the ordination ceremony, and then we will return the pulpit back to Pastor Joseph for communion and the closing of the service. There are three people that I want to remind you of that, though severely tested, maintained their integrity. Though they were pushed to the very limit of their culture and of their surroundings and their circumstances, they were pure in their integrity. Let me give you these three examples really quickly. The first one is Joseph. Now, you would probably know the story of Joseph. Among Christians, he's probably the most well-known character in the Bible outside of Jesus. Joseph, in chapter 39, it says this of him, "My master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care." Joseph is talking about his relationship with Potiphar. "No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has not withheld anything from me except you," and he's speaking to Potiphar's wife, "because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Here's a woman, Potiphar's wife, who has been nagging at Joseph to commit adultery with her. And he had all of the opportunity. He had all of the power in the household. He had everything at his fingertips to go that way. But he didn't. He was probably one of the best-known characters. He was favored by his father, boldly proclaiming dreams that he had concerning his brothers. His brothers sold him out actually imprisoned him in a cistern and sold him out as a slave. And then he was purchased as a slave in Potiphar's household and then promoted to a very high position of administrator, and then, of course, jailed after that when this incident went down with his wife, and then again, because of an ability to interpret dreams, was brought to Pharaoh's household and promoted to the administrator of Egypt. You know the story quite well. Now, what was it about this individual that gives us such a glimpse into his character, such a glimpse into his integrity? Well, even when he was pushed, had all the opportunity in the world to commit adultery, could have concealed it, could have walked away from it. He didn't, because he realized, and that's when in the scriptures where he says, "How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against my God?" He said, "I'm not sinning against you, Mrs. Potiphar. I'm not sinning against my master. I'm not sinning against others who may be watching or may feel let down. I'm actually sinning against God. This is an issue that I have between God and I." Let me tell you a quick story. There was a pastor who was preaching on integrity one Sunday. And he finished preaching his message, and then Monday, his day off, he was in a hardware store and he was purchasing some supplies for his house renovations. And as he finished purchasing the renovations, which came to about $59 and some change, he took out a $100 bill. Oh, sorry, he took out three 20s, 60, and he paid for his purchases. The teller who was serving him gave him change for 100 instead of change for 60. And so he took the money and he began walking out the store, knowing full well that this teller had made a mistake on his purchase. And so as he was walking out the door, he realized, "I'm a pastor. I just spoke about integrity on Sunday. I am doing something absolutely that breaches the very things that I taught my congregation." It was a large congregation. So at the door, he's arrested in the spirit, and he walks back to the same young man who was serving him at the counter. And he puts down the money and he says, "Young man, I'm so sorry. I think you've made a mistake. You gave me change for 100 and I only paid you at 60. And the young man said, "No, I didn't make a mistake at all. The pastor said, no, you made a mistake. You made a mistake. I gave you $60. You gave me change for $100. That's a mistake. And the young man said, no, it wasn't a mistake. It was a test. He said, I was in your congregation on Sunday. He said, I'm not a Christian. And I was contemplating giving my life to Christ. And I wanted to make sure that you Christians were exactly the real thing before I became one. And the pastor said, young man, I'm so terribly sorry. I have failed you. The minute you gave me the money, I should have returned it to you. But I walked away because I was walking in temptation. And he said, but God got a hold of me, got a hold of my integrity and turned me around. And he said, young man, if you understand what it means to listen to the voice of God, you won't go far wrong as a believer. You will be tempted, but don't compromise your integrity. And that young man became a Christian. He was led to the Lord, and he's serving in that pastor's church. By the way, that's a true story. So there's Joseph, who even when he's tempted, okay, he's being pushed sexually. He's a young man. He's being pushed sexually. He does not compromise his integrity. The second character that I want to highlight for you is Daniel. Daniel is another well-known character. His Hebrew name, or the Babylonian officials, after they had taken over in Israel and exiled the Jews, had named him Belshazzar. Now, this is 600 years before Jesus, and Daniel was one of the top Hebrew minds of Israel in that day. And he was taken off to be indoctrinated in culture of the Babylonians, taken over to the royal palaces, and he did not compromise his integrity, even in the place of wealth, prosperity, and privilege. Okay, let's kind of look at the scripture, the key verse. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4 and 5 says, at this the administrators, the satraps, tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel because they were trying to bring him down. They were trying to find him to be guilty in his conduct of governance and affairs, but they were unable to do so. Now, this is the part that I want to highlight to you. They could not find any corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. You know what I get out of this scripture? Sometimes our integrity is compromised when we become careless. When we become careless. When we think, oh, well, what will it matter? It won't matter if we do this one thing or we do that one thing. Who will ever notice? If I just write this down on my taxes this way, if I just report this, or if I withhold that change, or if I just speed a little bit, I won't get caught. By the way, I just got caught. All right. I was rushing between appointments in the Northwest District and I was speeding and I got caught, but to the blessing and the good news for my wife, I got let go. I just got a warning. Praise God for those RCMP people. Love them. But, you know, sometimes we just push on the accelerator a little too hard or we do that one little thing. We think, oh, no one's going to notice. No one's going to catch me. Well, God is watching, and it is a compromise of our integrity. So there's Daniel being fed, all offered. He wasn't being fed. He was being offered all the king's food, all the king's wine and beverages, and all of the luscious living from the palace. But he said, no, if I do that, I will compromise the dietary laws of my people. I will compromise the oath that I have taken as a follower of God. And he did not compromise his integrity, even when he had the privileges given to him. The last character that I want to kind of highlight to you is Job. Job. Now you might think, why is that being highlighted to us this morning? Well, let me read to you Job chapter 2, verse 3. Then the Lord said to Satan, the Lord has a conversation in the heavenlies about his servant Job. God is talking to Satan, and he says, have you considered my servant Job? Isn't that interesting? You know, it's kind of interesting to me that there's communication between God and Satan, and I would think, isn't that kind of breaching something? Like, shouldn't God just shut that guy right out? You know, he shouldn't be having a conversation, but here we have in the scriptures a conversation between the Lord and Satan. Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity. Though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Now, can you imagine if your house burnt down and all your children were killed and all of your pets, Fluffy and, you know, whatever, other cats and dogs and birds that you might have, were completely destroyed and all your wealth was taken away. And then, just to make it all worse, you suddenly broke out in these gigantic boils all over yourself, where you had to sit on the sidewalk on the Alberni Highway and scrape your wounds with broken pottery in order to relieve the pain. Now, that's the kind of position Job was in. He wasn't sitting in his Beamer, his BMW. He wasn't sitting in his nice oceanfront property, sipping a nice iced tea with a little umbrella in it. Okay, he was in pain, misery, and at the peak of utter loss in his life. He had lost everything: his wealth, his oxen, his donkeys, his servants, his sheep, his camel, his children. He had lost everything. In fact, his wife comes to him and says, "Why don't you speak against God, man, and get rid of all this pain? Like, just do it and die, because it's got to be better than this, right?" And he says, "No, not going to do it. I'm not going to compromise my integrity." Why is integrity so important? Because it defines your character, it defines your true conduct, and integrity reveals your spiritual condition, your true spiritual condition. Now we're going to go to the slides. As I said, it's my privilege and my honor to be here with you today, especially because it is an ordination service for Hannah and Hannah Dutko.